in a way that, you know, I believe it's more than just being filled with the Spirit. Many people, I heard a preacher preach a message one time before we get started, back to Pentecost. And wanting to go back to Pentecost and have the power that they had back in Pentecost. Well, that power that they had in Pentecost was to get them through the tribulation period. And it has nothing to do with what we're doing today in the dispensation of grace. God today is operating in a different administration. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But his dealings with man is not the same. You better thank God that God is not dealing with man like he dealt in the Old Testament. There'd be none of us here. You better thank God that he's not dealing with man like he did in that Pentecost, in the Acts period. Because in Acts chapter 5, a man and his wife have a piece of ground, they sell it, and they come to Peter and they give him part of the money that they got from that partial ground, and the only thing that they did, they said, this is what we got from it. And instead, and they made the assumption, they made, it was like, this is all we got. In other words, like they sold the ground for $500, they bring $250 and say, this is what we're given, this is what we got for that land, but they kept back $250 for themselves, insinuating that they only got $250. You know what happened to them? The Holy Spirit killed them right there on the spot. I thank God that we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. God's dealings with people today, he's dealing with them on the basis of grace and what his Son did for them on the cross, and not under the law and not under the kingdom program. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn with me, and I want you to look at something, and we're going to go, and I'm like Robbie about the Greek words. I couldn't read Greek. I can't speak Greek, but I can read sixth grade English, and I like to look up the words and see how the Holy Spirit had them translated in the Bible. For instance, the word filled. We talk about being filled with the Spirit. That word filled is to end. That's what it means. In the Greek dictionary, to end, and it's like you filling up a glass. Well, you just don't keep pouring in the water in that glass. You come to an end. When do you end it? When it's full. It brings to fill is to end. It's fulfilling, fill up. There are two words that also that's translated, the same Greek word to fill is translated supply. We'll look at that one. Turn to Philippians and look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Very familiar verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply, there's the word, supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall fill up, same word, fill. Fill up, bring to an end all your needs. Supply Isn't that fascinating how the Lord would use the same word, have them to translate it different, means the same. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. You know what the next word, filled, means? Not only supply. Look in verse 10. And ye are complete in Him. That word complete is the same word as filled in Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk on wine wherein excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Completeness. My God. He said there, ye are filled, complete. I mean, bring to an end of it all in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that you can add to it. There's nothing that you can take from it. If you're complete, you're filled up in Christ Jesus. In other words, folks, if you're in Christ Jesus, you are full of the Spirit of God. Now, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Look in verse chapter 4. Chapter 4. In chapter 4, same word. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, that you might be filled with the will of God. Anyway, that's the way you look at things about this word filled. Now, I quoted to you the verse. I want you to see what mankind is filled with. Turn back with me and look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This world is filled. This world thinks they're complete. Look in Romans chapter 1. And notice in verse... I'm going to read verse 29, but I'm going to go back and read another couple more verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. That's what mankind in this world, they're filled with unrighteousness. Now, people think unrighteousness is wickedness, but it's not. Look on down in the verse. He said, being filled with unrighteousness. That's one thing. Fornication, that's another. Wickedness, that's another. Covetousness, that's another. And he lists all these things. They're proud, they're murder, debate, deceitful, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. On and on the thing goes. I want you to see to be filled with what unrighteousness is. Mankind, the unrighteousness is what produces a lot of the other stuff. Look back in chapter 1. He said in verse 16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And there is no other power unto salvation. God has no other power to save you but by the gospel. What Christ did on the cross is the only power that God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, can get you to where He's at. No other power can do it. You don't have the power within you, within yourself, to obtain God's favor. You don't have the power to get where God is. You can't go to where God is. God dwelling in a light that no man can approach unto. No man hath seen, nor can see. You can't even get close to it. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God is a holy, righteous God. He can't even look upon unrighteousness. He can't be associated with unrighteousness. He can't be around sin. He cannot have anything to do with unrighteousness. You have no power. There is no power in this world. There is no power in religion. There is no power in church membership. There is no power in water baptism. There is no power in giving to the United Way. There is no power to mankind and the goodness of man. There is no power there. Where's the power of God unto salvation? Where is the power that God uses to save people like you? It's what Jesus did on the cross. That's the power. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I realize that Christ went to that cross, and when I say he goes to that cross and dies for your sins, I mean the slate is clean. God today is not imputing your trespasses unto you. He's not holding you accountable today for your sins. He held his son accountable for your sins. That's the good news. I'm not telling you that you've got to do good to get God's favor. I'm not telling you that Jesus died for your sins. And now if you'll turn from your sins and let Jesus Christ come into your heart, then he'll save you. All that tommy rot. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He became what you are. He died for your sins. And that God forgave your sins. And he raised his son up. And if you'll trust that, you'd have eternal life. That's the power of God. Say, well, then I ain't got nothing to worry about going to hell. No, you got to receive it. Say, well, what if I don't receive it? If he's done paid for him, there ain't nothing that he can do. Oh, yes, he is. You see, if you don't receive it, in fact, hang on there just a moment. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, we're going to get to the unrighteousness. But look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice what he says. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Verse 7. Only he who now letteth will let unto he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power. You better watch that power. That's the power that you see in manifest today. That's the power that the evangelist gets up and waves his hand and half of the congregation just falls out. You better watch that power. That's the power. I was heard on the news over there in England, I think it is, a Great Britain, somewhere over there, they're going to build a statue for the monarch over there, the queen or whatever, and they had the technology to make that statue talk. And you could come up to that statue and you could ask the statue questions and it answer you about the kingdom. And they said that they was going to try it out. And if it's successful, it could be used in all the great cities around And they'd have statues, and you could just talk to them, and they'd tell you all about the history of whatever. Do you know where that comes from? That comes right out of Revelation chapter 13. Someday they're going to make a statue of some prince, and they're going to cause that thing to talk. I mean, folks, it's later than you think. So I've been hearing that for 30 years. Well, what's 30 years to eternity? But in fact, look at this power. He's coming. It's after the working of Satan with all power and signs. And you notice that's lying, wonders, not truthful. With all deceivability of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, folks, you can know the truth, but until you receive it for yourself, there's no power there. Look on. For this cause, the cause that they would not receive the love of the truth, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be what? Damned. Who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now back in Romans chapter 1, folks, God's power is in the gospel. It's in the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and God raised him the third day. You can't get to heaven. You will burn in the lake of fire for time and eternity till you receive that truth for yourself. Now look on. Verse 17. For therein the gospel, the cross, is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, they suppress the truth. They hold it down. They shield, they hinder it. And who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Man's filled with unrighteousness. What is that unrighteousness that suppresses the gospel? That tells people they can have another way. That shows them that there's a different way, many roads going to the same place. Religion. Religion is ungodly. Religion is unrighteousness. Where is the righteousness of God revealed? It's revealed in the cross. And if the cross is not the center of anybody's life, then they're unrighteous. You got saved by believing the gospel. You might have not known all the aspects of the gospel. You might have not known all the details of the gospel. But you knew the Lord was your Savior. You one that could save you. You knew the Lord died for you. You knew He went to a cross for you. And you came to Him for salvation. But man's filled with unrighteousness. Well, look at the contrast. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and take Romans chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 1. We're talking about fullness, being filled. You know, there's more to being filled than what you hear most of the time. People hear, well, you need to be filled with the Spirit. whenever you're filled with the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit today in the dispensation of grace is not the same as being filled with the Spirit in the Acts period. No more it's just as different as the difference in the gospel that Peter preached and the gospel that Paul preached. The fullness of the Spirit today has to do with the completion of the Word of God. But before we get into that, look with me in Ephesians chapter 1 and notice in verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That body's filled with all in all. Well, what is it filled with? Look in Romans chapter 3. And notice in verse 21. That body, the fullness of him who filleth all in all. The body is the fullness of Christ. Don't you understand? Well, what's the fullness of Christ? What is it in the body? What's filled the body up? Well, look what he said. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You know what the fullness of God in the body is? It's His righteousness. And that righteousness is upon all and in all that believe. You're filled with the righteousness of God. Don't you get it? God Almighty sees you as a son of God, as a righteous member of His body. He doesn't see you as you really in the flesh. Because you're not in the flesh. If so be the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, you're in the Spirit. And that Spirit is a spiritual body. You're righteous. The fullness of God is to be filled with the righteousness. Man is filled with unrighteousness. The opposite. We that are filled in the body, we love the cross. Those that don't are enemies to the cross. Let's go on. We're to be filled with righteousness. The body's filled with righteousness. Look why you're there in Romans. Look in Romans chapter 15. There's something else you ought to be filled with. Look in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. We're talking about being filled. You don't ever hear nobody preaching about this fullness. Look in Romans chapter 15, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Are you filled with all knowledge? Well, you have it wrote down. You have the mind of Christ. Where is the mind of Christ, by the way? Well, look at what the Bible says about it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. That's just a few pages over. We're going to come back to Romans 15, but look what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. He that is spiritual judges all things. Are you to judge? You know the famous verse in Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. How many times have I heard that? Judge not that you be not judged. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 2, verse 15 says, he that's spiritual, what? Are you to judge all things? Well, what are you to judge them by? By the book you got in your lap. You're to be filled with all knowledge. Well, where's that knowledge at? It's in that book. Look on. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged to no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? You can't instruct the Lord, but we have the mind of Christ. That mind of Christ is in a book. That mind of Christ. Paul said to the flesh, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And it has to do with that knowledge. You're to be filled with the knowledge of His will. You're to be filled with the knowledge of what God is doing today. So you can be the judge of all things. You judge them by the book. I hear a man preach a sermon. I'm judging that man based upon what this book says. You're to judge me based upon this book. And people don't do that. Why? They don't know what's in the book. So what do they do? Judge not that you be not judged. Folks, listen. This book, Romans through Philemon, is your standard of living. It's where you get your doctrine for faith and living and how to serve the Lord and how to walk in knowledge of Him. Turn over with me. I'll tell you what. Before we go on, look back in Romans 15, verse 13. You're to be filled with knowledge, and that knowledge brings something. Look what it brings. Verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all what? Joy and peace. Do you know what is the greatest thing for depression is? Number one, be saved. Number two, know the mind of Christ. Do you know what that is? Be filled with all joy and peace. But the problem is in the next word. In what? In believing. You know why men today don't believe the book they claim to believe? I guarantee you can prove it. You hear people say, well, boy, I believe King James Bible is the Word of God. I believe it. I believe it from cover to cover. Well, open up Romans through Philemon to them and see how much they believe it. Go fool around with our golden calf that's made out of water and see what they believe about that book. Go and open up Colossians 2 about the Sabbath day and see what they believe about that book. Go and show them what the book says about the Lord's Supper. See what they believe about that book. Go preach that Jesus Christ died for all of their sins in this world. God's not holding them accountable today to this world. He's held His Son accountable. See what they believe about that book. Go and tell them about that God is not judging and hurting and beating people and bringing wrath on people today in the dispensation of grace, but He's offering grace and truth to them, and see what they believe about that book. Go and tell them that God Almighty never commanded you to bring 10% of your income into the storehouse. See what they believe about that book. Say, well, boy, now, yeah, see, you know, I believe King James Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover. Look on with me. Filled with righteousness, filled with joy and peace because we believe the truth. Don't you, listen, folks, you know what you ought, I believe in giving. I honestly believe it. I believe the Lord will honor your gifts. But bless your heart, if you give in the key because you're afraid the train's going to hit you Monday morning if you don't give, then you might as well just keep it, because that's like abomination. See, you're like bargaining with God. Lord, I'll give you this $100 bill here if you won't let nothing happen to me next week. I mean, you know, like that. I can't understand people like that. I can't understand people who say, God, I'll give you a hundredfold. Now, if they really believe that, if you really believe that if you gave 10, you'll get 100 back next week, I guarantee you there wouldn't be a $10 bill in this building. I'd give, if that was the ratio and what would happen, man, I'd go borrow money and give, wouldn't you? Why do we give to the Lord's work? Because we love Him for what He's done for us, and we want to help others to have what we've got. But man don't believe like that. You see, they got to keep their thumb on people because they got to keep that money coming in and all this and that. Now, I know you got to have money, but I just wanted to throw that in. But look on. Turn with me. Look in Colossians. Colossians. Talking about knowledge. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Things that we're to be filled with. We're to be filled with. We are filled with His righteousness. We're to be filled with joy and peace if we believe. And that don't matter about understanding, it's about believing. Don't say, well, I don't understand it. Well, don't worry about what you don't understand, just believe it. We're to be filled with knowledge. Look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you know what the will of the Lord is today? God will have all men to be saved, that's one thing, and come unto the knowledge of His truth. But look back with me, hang on to Colossians and come back to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. Notice in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. He's got a purpose, it's His will, and Paul, it was revealed to Paul. And we as members of the body of Christ are to be filled with the knowledge of that will. Look in verse, come on down, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. All right, we got an inheritance out there. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. It's His will. It was His will to send His Son into this world to die for your sins. It was His will that you be saved and hear the gospel. And it's His will that you come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's His will that He's putting together a body of believers and they have an inheritance out there in the heavens. That's what you're to be filled with. Look in verse 14 talks about, come down to verse, well, I'm just going to read verse 12 too, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. And that first would be Paul, just like in me first, along with other believers. But anyway, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's like earnest money. It's like a down payment until we get the purchase possession. Earnest money of our inheritance. That's a part of our inheritance. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You have the mind of Christ in you. You're righteous in the body of Christ. You're in Him and He's in you right now. You're to be filled with that knowledge of His will and what He's doing today. He said, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And Paul's there and we're the possession there is the church and it's to be to the praise of His glory. He has a will, folks. And He said, you're to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And look down with me in verse 10. Why should you have all this? Why should you be filled with the knowledge of His will and have an understanding of it, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God? You know we're to grow and we're to be strong in the Lord. You know how you do that? By that book you've got. Why, He says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, He said that stand... let me just read. I don't want to misquote it. In Ephesians chapter 6, notice in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And you know what that armor is? It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's the helmet of salvation. It's having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I mean the shield of faith. You know all the armor that you have is not yours. It's His. It's His righteousness, it's His salvation, it's His shield, it's His faith, it's His sword. You don't have anything. But if you don't know and have knowledge of the armor, you can't put it on. You won't be strong. You won't stand in the power of His might. You'll stand in some religion's might and fall. We're to be filled with the knowledge. We're to be filled. Turn over, look in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 10. That ye may approve all things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now how in the world can I do that? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. You know what I'm to do as a member of the body of Christ? I'm to live a life that brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fruits of righteousness. I am righteousness. I have His righteousness. But I'm to walk worthy of the Lord in all knowledge, what this book says. Now this book tells me that I'm not to eat catfish. That's what it says over in the Old Testament. Not me personally. As a member of the body of Christ, I can eat anything. that don't eat me. Look with me in 1 Timothy. I'm just using this as an illustration. All the Bible's for me, but it's not all to me. That book says in Leviticus 22, I'm not to eat a catfish. I can't eat swine. I can't eat pork. Isn't that what it says? I can't eat nothing that's clovenfoot and don't chew the cud. I can't do it. I can't plant a garden with divers seeds. I can't wear clothes of divers material. And that gets us all. On and on. But look what Paul says there in 1 Timothy. Notice what he said in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. For every creature, God is good, nothing to be refused. If it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Look, he said, what's he talking about? Well, look back in verse there. He said, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and what? Know the truth. Have knowledge. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. So can you, as a member of the body of Christ, eat catfish, although it's in the Bible that you're not to eat it? Sure can. Why? You're filled with the knowledge. You have that knowledge of the truth. What is that truth? You are righteous. You're in the body of Christ. You rightly divide the word of truth. And there are many more illustrations that you can go through. We're to be filled with that knowledge to walk worthy of the Lord. Don't you want to walk worthy of the Lord? He walked worthy of you. Then back in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to close with this one. Ephesians 5, we are to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And them things go together. But look back in verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And if you know the will of the Lord, be filled with the Spirit. Now, what is the fullness of the Spirit today? Well, look at a parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, notice what he says there. In verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. To be filled with the Spirit is to be under the influence. Be not drunk on wine, wherein excess. Excess in wine, you're under that influence of that wine. You're drunk with that wine. That wine controls you. That wine makes you do things that you don't want to do or you wouldn't do without it. What is it today? It's let the Word of Christ dwell in you. You're under the influence of the Word of God. The Word, your life, what you do, what motivates you is what's in the mind of Christ, the book. What's in Romans through Philemon for you. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Live your life according to the Word of Christ. That's being filled with the Spirit. Now, people today want to talk about being filled with the Spirit. They're thinking about Pentecost. They're thinking about the Spirit having control over them, and they're doing what the Holy Ghost wants them to do. Let me show you the difference. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're to strive to be filled with the Spirit. I strive every day. I read Romans through Philemon. I study Romans through Philemon. Why? I want the Word of Christ to dwell in me. I want to be under the influence. I want that working of the Word of God which worketh in you. That power. Look in Acts chapter 2, verse they're all feared. The day of Pentecost come. Verse 1. Look down verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. As what? As the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Ghost was talking through them. And you can't read this passage and not know that tongues is languages. Look in verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own what? Language. Verse 8. How here we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. No doubt about it, the Holy Ghost came on them, filled them, took control of them, and spoke through them. Why? They don't have the Word of God. They had the Old Testament, but they didn't have what we got today. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Now, you know your tongue ain't ceased. Mine hadn't. I've just been going for 40-some minutes. Tongues shall, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part. They knew by what prophecy, and they knew by, in part as revelations came. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. He matured, he grew up in knowledge, he knew things. I know what are the things of a man. I don't do what I used to do. For now we see through a glass darkly. It's not clear. But then face to face. It'll be clear as though there's nothing between us. We'll know. Now I know in part. But then is when that perfect is come. Shall I know even as also I am known? Well, how was he known? He was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. He was known as the one that was giving out the revelation. He said there, I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but of these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Folks, I believe Paul fulfilled, brought to a completion the Word of God. When he wrote Romans through Philemon, it completed the Word of God for the body of Christ, and now we can see clearly. Now we know. We have a knowledge. We don't need some prophesier. We don't need to wonder about it. You have the mind of Christ, and that which is perfect, which is to come, is in your lap. People don't even know about it. It's the greatest book you got. You want to know what the Lord thinks? What you want to know what the will of the Lord is? Read Romans through Philemon. You want to know how to get saved? Go to the book of Romans. Romans through Philemon. You want to know where the gospel is at? Romans through Philemon. You want to know how to walk in this dispensation? Romans through Philemon. Everything you need as a member of the body of Christ is Romans through Philemon. You say, why don't we have all? Because it completes the whole book. All the Bible's for me, but it's not all to me. I love to read it all. I love to read back in the Old Testament, see the types and shadows and how God dealt back then, and know that that's my Lord today. What a book. Filled with His knowledge. Filled with righteousness. Filled with the Spirit, the Word of Christ dwelling in you. Filled. But you'll never be filled with the Spirit of God like Acts 2, because you're not going through the wrath. You have the complete Word of God. And you don't need the Holy Ghost. You know where the Spirit of God witnesses to you? Says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. He wrote it down. Right there. Right here. Not some standing in a corner, some goosebump feeling or nothing like that. It's right here in this book. All right, shake hands with one another and you're at liberty to go.